Democratic senators grilled President Trump's nominee for Secretary of the Air Force yesterday over $450,000 in payments she received from Energy Department laboratories, payments the department's inspector general says weren't properly documented. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, senators didn't get much of an explanation for the work Heather Wilson performed, but her confirmation looks likely nonetheless.
The matters in question happened 7 years ago, but several lawmakers said they were relevant because they might shed light on how Wilson would handle contracting and acquisition matters if she were confirmed as Air Force Secretary. According to the IG, contracting officers at Sandia National Laboratory ran afoul of the federal acquisition regulation by not requiring Wilson's firm to document any concrete deliverables in exchange for the $10,000 the government paid her each month for about 50 hours of work. In some cases, the invoices her firm submitted said nothing more than consulting services. Senator Jack Reed is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
The IG concluded that you did not comply with this requirement, nor was it enforced by the contracting official involved. And while the contracting official did not enforce the federal acquisition regulation of the contract, were you aware of the requirements to provide evidence supporting your 50 hours of work for $10,000 a month?
Wilson said only that she lived up to the terms of her contract, as written by Sandia, and noted that the IG faulted Sandia, not her firm, for any irregularities in the contracting process.
I did the work. I complied with the contract, and contract negotiated and signed by the laboratories. The review found actually no fault with me. And the DOE auditors never even bothered to talk to me. If they had at the time, I probably would have been able to reconstruct what I did that month.
But Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, was among the senators who looked for an acknowledgement from Wilson that the government should have done more to require some evidence of the work she did or the time she spent.
I'm asking you, as a potential Secretary of the Air Force, whether you will hold contractors to a higher standard than is indicated by this document. It's a forward-looking question. I'm not asking you to reconstruct in your testimony now what you did, but shouldn't we expect more from contractors than this kind of blank invoice?
Senator, I think we should expect contractors to comply with the contracts which they sign with the government. And in this case, I did.
The answer to my question is really a simple yes. That's the right answer, don't you think? And there is no way of knowing from this invoice, even vaguely, what you did.
Senator, the people that I worked with were supervising me and knew what I did and that I was doing the work, that they were satisfied enough with to offer me a full-time position as the vice president of the laboratory. I did the work. They were happy with the work. I complied with the contract, and I will expect anyone who has a contract with the United States Air Force to comply with the contract as well.
None of the senators gave any indication that they considered the consulting matter a barrier to her confirmation. But on broader issues of acquisition policy, Senator John McCain, the committee's chairman, told Wilson he expects her to help Congress address what he called a broken acquisition system. He complained that past Pentagon political appointees have shown nothing but resistance to his committee's reform agenda.
One of the reasons why we have not got enough money is because we've wasted it. We've wasted so much, so many billions of dollars, time after time after time. So my strong recommendation to you is that we start firing some people, we start penalizing contractors, we break up this iron triangle of the military-industrial congressional complex.
For her part, Wilson gave only a few clues as to how she'd approach acquisition matters as secretary, though she did seem to indicate agreement with the Senate's push to procure weapons systems more quickly, saying she strongly supports rapid prototyping and experimentation initiatives the Congress has passed in recent years, and not beginning new acquisition programs with overly aggressive requirements.
You know, I think the A-10 was procured in a very tight time frame. The F-16 was certainly tighter than some of the other aircraft that we've built. Getting someone as a program manager and saying, all right, you're going to be in this assignment for 4 years, and here's what we expect you to accomplish. We don't expect miracles. We don't want a 15-year program. We want tight turns, and then we will iterate and innovate after that. I think that's generally been a more effective at getting capability out to the service in a cost-effective way.
On budget matters, Wilson's views were also in line with a relatively hawkish makeup of the committee. She made clear she supports the immediate repeal of the Budget Control Act and advocated for more spending on weapons platforms and personnel, fighter pilots in particular.
The Air Force is too small for what the nation expects of it. Since the Budget Control Act of 2011, the number of airmen has declined, but the demand for air and space power has increased. Leaders of the United States Air Force have testified that less than 50% of the conventional Air Force is ready for all of the missions assigned to them, and I have no reason to doubt that estimate. We are short over 900 fighter pilots, 900 fighter pilots short of the missions that we need to fly and fight. The Air Force is not currently ready to fight against a near peer competitor, and that should concern all of us.
As to the current year, Wilson said it's imperative that Congress do something in the next month to avert the possibility that the military spends the rest of the fiscal year under a continuing resolution.
And if there is a continuing resolution for this year, we will make all of the problems that we're talking about here so much worse. We will have to stop non-combat flying hours in the Air Force. The pilot exodus would increase. The aircraft won't be going to depot to be maintained. There'd likely be a freeze on civilian hiring. We can't operate this way. We need to get beyond the Budget Control Act and get back to normal operations for budgeting.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.